Today we celebrate a very important day. It's the ascension of our Lord. At the end of the Easter season, we always celebrate this. And 50 days after Jesus rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven. And then shortly after that, Pentecost. So next weekend we'll celebrate Pentecost. And we need Pentecost. We see that in our gospel today, because our gospel today is from the end of Matthew's gospel. And Jesus meets his disciples in Galilee, and this is before he ascends into heaven. And we're told that the disciples, seeing Jesus, worship him. So clearly that means that they believe that he's God and worthy of worship. But we're also told that they doubted. So they worshipped him, but they doubted. And why was it that they doubted? Well, it's because they hadn't yet received the Holy Spirit. And so that is going to happen after Jesus ascends into heaven. They'll receive the Holy Spirit, and then those apostles will go from doubting Jesus to be so convicted that Jesus is the Savior of the world, and that he's calling us to a new life in this life and in the next. They'll be so convicted of this that they'll go to the ends of the earth. They'll do just what he tells them in today's gospel. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. So Matthew, my patron, the Apostle Matthew, will go to Ethiopia. Thomas will go to India. Peter will go to Antioch and then to Rome. Each of the disciples will go. They'll scatter throughout the known world. They'll preach the gospel, and then what happens to them? They die. Each one of them will be killed for the faith. But because of the gift of the Holy Spirit, they weren't afraid of death. The Holy Spirit so convicted them of the truth of Jesus that it didn't matter to them whether they lived or died. What mattered to them is that they followed their call. And their call was to scatter and to share the gospel. So today, though, we celebrate the ascension. The ascension, I think, is kind of a funny event in the life of the church. Because what happens at the ascension? Well, Jesus leaves earth to go to heaven. It's kind of interesting. In today's gospel, for instance, which we know happens right before Jesus ascends into heaven, Jesus says to his disciples, "Behold, I'm with you always until the end of the age." Must have seemed comforting to have Jesus say this. "Behold, I'm with you. I'm with you always until the end of the age." So Jesus is saying, "I will never leave you." And then he leaves. "I'll never leave you." But then he leaves earth. He goes away. He disappears in a cloud. So how are we supposed to understand that? Jesus says, I'm not going anywhere. And then he goes. One of the things I think is really interesting is that in the account of the ascension, the most complete account of it that we have is the one that's in our first reading today from the Acts of the Apostles, written by St. Luke. St. Luke says that after Jesus speaks with his disciples, then he was lifted up and a cloud took him from their sight. So how are we supposed to understand what's happening here? A cloud takes Jesus from their sight. So if we think in the scriptures the other times that there's a cloud involved, I think that helps us to understand what's happening here with the ascension. So the first time that we see a cloud in the scriptures is in the book of Exodus. And this is when Moses was going up to Mount Sinai to receive the law, or to receive the Ten Commandments. And they had erected there on Mount Sinai a tent that they called the Tent of Meeting. Moses would go up the mountain, and most of the other people had to stay down at the base of the mountain. Moses would go up to the mountain. He would go into the meeting tent, and then a cloud would descend upon the meeting tent. And it was scary. The people quasi-witnessing this at the bottom of the mountain, or at least hearing it at the bottom of the mountain, would hear thunder. They would see lightning. They were freaked out because this cloud was ascending. It was scary to them. Similarly, in the gospel, there's an occasion when Jesus goes up the mountain. He brings three of his apostles. Moses and Elijah appear on either side of Jesus, and Jesus' appearance changes before the apostles. It's called the transfiguration. His appearance is transfigured before them. It seems like Jesus is filled with light. And what happens? A cloud descends upon Jesus, covering him and the disciples who are with him. And the disciples are terrified by this cloud. It's also interesting that this same kind of imagery is used at the very beginning of Jesus' earthly life. That's at the beginning of Luke's gospel, when the announcement is made of Jesus' birth. The archangel Gabriel appears to Mary, tells her, or invites her to say yes to becoming the mother of the Son of God. And what's the language that's used here? The angel says, "The Holy Spirit will overshadow you." And it's the same language, actually, that's used in these cloud moments in the scriptures. The Holy Spirit will overshadow you, will cover your womb, and from your womb will be conceived Jesus, the Son of God. So what does it mean then that when Jesus is taken up into a cloud? Well, a cloud only appears in the scriptures when God's presence is most manifest in its mystery. And so that's how we're supposed to read this too, that Jesus is taken up into God's very presence. So we can say that Jesus ascended into heaven, but it's probably more helpful for us to say that Jesus goes into God. Jesus is now in God, in the realm of God. He leaves earth to be totally in God. So what does it mean to be totally in God? Well, it means that Jesus is not going to a place. And sometimes we think of heaven, we shouldn't do this, but we think of heaven as like a physical place or a space. Sometimes the words that we use to describe heaven is like this and unhelpful when we talk about, you know, like somebody up there. Yesterday I was talking to a guy I'm very close to. He's having some troubles, and he's talking about how he's mad at the guy upstairs. And he always refers to God as the man upstairs. I'm upset with the man upstairs. Well, God's not the man upstairs. He's not a man, first of all, in the sense that he's not a human being like me or you. He's spirit, pure spirit. And he's not upstairs. He's not up there in the sky somewhere. Very famously, there was a Russian cosmonaut who went on a voyage into outer space, and Russia, at least at the time, atheistic country, he himself was an atheist. He goes up into outer space, and he's spacewalking, and he looks around, and he says, "No God up here. It's no God." And of course, that's ridiculous to say, because we don't believe that God is somewhere out there, or he's in a galaxy far, far away. We don't believe that about God, that he's in another space. But we believe that God is beyond space, that he's transcendent of space. He created the world, time and space. And so if he created it, he can't be a part of it. He can't be a part of the universe or in time if he created the universe and he created time. But instead, he's transcendent of that. He's beyond space and beyond time. So when Jesus leaves earth to go into God, what we're saying is that Jesus now transcends space. He's not located in one particular place in the world. Similarly, we have to say that Jesus is not in time anymore. And this helps us to understand the amazing humility that God shows when the Son of God takes flesh in the womb of the Virgin Mary, because when Jesus takes flesh in Mary's womb, God comes into time and God comes into space. But when Jesus ascends into heaven, he leaves time and space, we could say, into God's realm, outside of space and time, where God is transcendent. He's not limited by space and time. So we're limited by space and time. Because I'm preaching right now here at Holy Family, I can't be preaching at the same time at Holy Trinity or St. Pius. And sometimes people get upset about that I can't bilocate because they want to have Mass at their time, but I can only have Mass at one time. I can't be in two places at one time. Why? Because I'm limited by space. I'm also limited by time. I can't be yesterday and today at the same time. I can only be now. I can't go back in time. Or forward in time. I can only be in the present, not for God. It's different with God. He's not limited by space. He's not limited by time. So this is why we say that God resides in the eternal present or the eternal now. God can be perfectly present at any time in history and at every time in history at the same moment. And this is also why God is equally present to all of us here in Silver Lake, but he's also present to everybody in Winsted, present to everybody in Glencoe at this moment, unlike me. But God, who's outside of space and time, is now perfectly available in all space and time because he's not limited by space and time. So for Jesus to leave earth and to go into God means that Jesus enters this realm outside of space and time, which means that Jesus is now totally available to us here and in India and in Africa at every moment. We sometimes ask, well, how can God hear the prayers of 10 people at one time, much less a billion people at one time? Well, it's because, unlike me, God's not limited in any way like we are. I have an attention span and have a hard time paying attention to the one person who's talking to me, not God, because he's not limited in any way. He's equally present to every person on earth currently, and every person who's ever lived in the history of the universe. That's the realm that Jesus goes to. This is why Jesus can say to his disciples, "Behold, I'm with you always until the end of the age." Wherever you go, to Ethiopia, to Africa, to Spain, to India, to the ends of the earth, I'm with you, I'm there. And the disciples experienced that because they went to India, Ethiopia, Spain. And what did they do? They celebrated the sacraments. They celebrated the Mass wherever they went. And what happened when they celebrated the Mass? Jesus suddenly in their hands. Unfortunately, because I'm a sinner. Sometimes when I, at the end of Mass, I think, oh my gosh, where was I during Mass? Did we pray the Our Father? I don't even remember. We must have. Somebody probably would have, made a funny face that I would have noticed, or maybe said something. So my weakness and sinfulness, I can sometimes space out even during Mass. I mean, I know we all experience that. Even the priest experiences that. But sometimes when God blesses me with an awareness of what I'm doing, I'm so grateful for when that happens. Sometimes I look down after the consecration and I think, oh my goodness, Jesus, you're right in my fingers. I am holding you right now, Jesus. It's actually you. You're actually here. How am I worthy to be holding you right now? I know I'm not. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for coming here. Silver Lake, the Holy Family, thank you for coming here this morning. My goodness, Jesus. It's amazing. That's what the disciples experienced in Ethiopia, in Antioch, in India, all over the world. Eventually, some of those Christian missionaries made it to the new world where we live. I love to think about those first settlers. Most of them were French Jesuits coming into this area by way of the Hudson River through to the Great Lakes, where eventually they would have made it up Lake Superior and into Minnesota. And to think about the Mass being celebrated here in Minnesota for the first time. Jesus, how amazing to be one of those missionaries where suddenly they land, they hadn't had a celebrated Mass that day. So they take bread and wine, they get out their prayer book. If they have a candle, they light it, say those words over the bread and wine, the words that Jesus said at the Last Supper, the words which he told them to do in remembrance of him. Say the words, Jesus. Suddenly, Jesus is there, right in their fingers. In the new world, in Minnesota. It's amazing. Jesus is faithful to his promises. So today we give thanks to God for the gift of this amazing gift of our faith and the sacraments that we have. Jesus coming to us. Man, what a blessing. Jesus is always here for us. Sometimes we're not here for Jesus, but Jesus is always here for us. He's calling us to be with him, to be loved by him. He loves it when we let ourselves be loved by him. He loves that. And that's simply what coming to Mass is, letting ourselves be loved by Jesus. Letting ourselves encounter Jesus, meet Jesus here, where he shows up every time we have Mass, every Sunday. Wow, how great to be here. We're also so grateful for our graduates today, the gift of their lives. Your parents are so grateful that you exist, and we are too. You know, our life is a gift from God, and your parents are so grateful for that gift that God gave them when they had you. And they're so grateful that they've seen you grow and turn into the young women and men that you are. So proud of you. And what a blessing that they've raised you in the faith, that it was important to them that you be baptized, receive the sacraments. What a gift your parents have given you, but what a gift that God gave them in you. So grateful for you today. We're praying for you today. Proud of you, proud of your accomplishment, proud of the ways that you've persevered through difficulties. So last year at your confirmation, you received the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's what we celebrate next week, Pentecost, the Holy Spirit descending on the apostles, turning them from cowards into courageous men who were willing to witness to their faith, even to their death. So let's pray today that God will give this reawakening of the Holy Spirit, which we've already received, which you've already received, this reawakening of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, so that we can really live our faith, witness to the truth of Jesus, even if that involves personal suffering for us, because it always does. If we want to witness to the truth, there's always going to be suffering involved. People aren't going to like it. So, but we need God's grace. We can't do it without His grace. So let's ask God for an outpouring of the gift of the Holy Spirit, even today at this Mass where He comes for these graduates, for all of us. May we experience today Jesus' words in the Gospel in a new and personal and loving way. Behold, I'm with you always until the end of the age.